Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Lil Mariko episode. She was highly recommended by people on my Instagram. My favorite part of her interview was when she talked about linking up with her boyfriend, Full Tack, and how they started creating music together. So thanks for tuning in. Have a good week. Peace.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. So thanks for doing this. We have artist Lil Mariko on the Stevie Weeby Show Zoom Editions. You were highly recommended through my social media, and I checked you out, and I'm like, okay, cool. She seems like an up-and-coming cool artist. So you're on the East Coast?
Yeah, currently in Vermont.
Oh, cool. So were you born and raised in Vermont?
No, actually Houston.
Oh, you're from Texas?
Yeah, and then I moved to New York City for school and stuff, and then because of Corona.
Cool. So, yeah, I was watching some of your music. How would you define your, it's kind of hard to put it in a box. It's like electronic, but like screamcore punk. It's a fusion of stuff, huh?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I describe it as like meme garbage.
But it's unique. It's different than, you can't really categorize it. It's just, you're doing your own thing.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like a just like mixture of like a bunch of different influences just to like make this like kind of trashy, like kind of fun.
It's fun. I'm glad you said fun, because it seems like you're having a lot of fun even in your videos and everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing started is just, like, me and my boyfriend Jared just, like, messing around in the studio and just, like, you know, like, hey, let's make a funny song. We're bored.
Now, Jared, does he go by Full Tack?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I did my research. I'm like, okay. Yeah, because I thought either that was the case or you're, like you guys were, like, in a group, or but you just said it, okay? So yeah. Let's talk about some of your history and your back. So you're originally from Texas, you said?
Yeah, Houston, Texas. I lived there for most of my life, but traveled a little bit when I was younger because my dad's job, we moved around a bit. But we went back to Houston, and I, like, finished up, like, middle school and high school there.
What was it like? I've never been to Texas. I would love to visit Texas. Are there a lot of Asians out there?
You know, it's funny. Houston has like extremely like diverse like demographic, right? But the area that I happened to live in, Houston, was not diverse at all. So I like went to this like giant high school, and there are literally like 10, like less than 10 Asians in my grade. Yeah, like my graduating class was like 1,000-something kids, and there's literally like less than 10 Asians.
That's not a lot at all.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Were you self-conscious about that? Did you all like know each other? Like, how did that work out?
I feel like I was shunned by a lot of the other Asians for being crazy.
So you were an outcast amongst the outcasts.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Wow. So typically, I'm not trying to generalize, but I got to keep it real. Usually, like Asians, that they're considered studious. They got their shit together. They're gonna either be a doctor or lawyer, or you know, do some kind of profession like that. And I take it that you didn't kind of mesh well with that type of thing.
Not really. I mean, like grade wise, like I was fine. Like I still kept up that like Asian standard. Like,
yeah. Were you in the band? Did you play instruments in high school?
No, I played violin in middle school, and then very quickly was like, I'm not disciplined enough for this, and just kind of.
Okay, yeah, I messed with violin as a kid. Yeah. Aussie's music. I messed with it. Yeah.
Suzuki method.
Yeah, exactly. Suzuki method. Yeah. So when did you take an interest in like, just making your own music and like what are some of your influences, like what'd you grow up listening to, like bands and everything?
So I don't know, I was always kind of into music when I was younger. I listened to like a lot of metal. So, oh, cool. Like, so Lamb of God, Children of Bodom, Arch Enemy. I kind of started it. And Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden's not really metal.
But, I was just going to say Iron Maiden. I was, I didn't get into it later, but I remember all the kids who wore those shirts. It's like scared me. Because yeah. It was like, it reminded me of like, you know, like those horror film posters, like Evil Dead or X, hey. You know, it reminds, like, you know, what was the dude's name? Eddie? The character Eddie, the evil demon looking dude on all the shirts. It just scared me. But then I like actually listen to their music. Like I love like, I guess the one that resonated was like Run to the Hills.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And I'm like, oh, this is like, I was a jock in high school. I was like, duped into wrestling, and so everyone like the heavyweight of our team would always put in like back then it was tapes, you know, and we work out in the weight room, and then he would put Iron Maiden, yeah. Run to the Hills, and I was like, oh, this is cool. So I gotta share that.
Yeah, I mean, Iron Maiden's great.
Yeah. So did you attend any heavy metal concerts in high school?
Not really. Mostly because I didn't really have any friends that were into it. I managed to dupe a friend into coming with me to a Circus Survive concert, but Circus Survive's not metal either. It's like more like progressive.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And then how long were you out in Texas before you made, you mentioned New York too, right?
Yeah. So I stayed there till 2014, just until I graduated high school, because like just the area I was in, I just wanted to get the hell out as soon as I could.
I
went to art school in New York City.
Oh, what's the name of the art school?
A Pratt Institute.
Oh, cool. And then what was the transition being from Texas, because that's a huge difference, right? Texas to New York.
I thought it was okay. I mean, prior to Houston, I lived in Taipei in Shanghai for a little bit. So like I kind of already knew what to expect, and I have like some family up in New York City, so like,
yeah,
I had visited before, so it wasn't too bad. Also, Pratt is in Brooklyn, so we had like a bit more of a campus community in comparison to other art schools.
There's more
like
Asians out there.
a lot more
right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So you mentioned, so your ethnicity, you're Chinese?
Yeah, and Japanese.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's where the Mariko comes from.
Yeah, it's my middle name.
Oh, that's what's up. So Chinese, Japanese.
Yeah.
I'm Korean, but I recently discovered within this past year, I thought I was 100% Korean. My brother took an ancestry DNA test. And we discovered we have 10% Japanese.
Oh shit! I mean, Japan.
That's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
So my mom was tripping out over that because she thought she was, you know, 100% Korean. She was like tracing back to the war and like what, you know, her family lineage.
Well, I mean, Japanese people are guilty of some pretty horrendous war crimes, so.
I didn't want to take it there with my mom. I brought that up. We were in Hawaii when we discovered it, but I didn't want to like bring that up. But something probably happened, maybe during the war, or you know.
Yeah. Oh my god. I would assume that's probably.
I wasn't mad. I mean, I got a lot of good Japanese homies. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. So, do you resonate more with the Japanese culture or the Chinese like culture?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. It's just like on top of that, growing up in the US, it kind of like really fucks with your sense of identity. So it's like whenever I'd go back to Japan, it's like I'm not Japanese enough because I'm already half Chinese. On top of that, I'm American on top of everything. And then like in China it's like the same thing. It's like, oh, but you're
yeah,
basically, so do you think, getting rejected from,
well, like, I hear you. When me and my brother went to Korea as kids, we were about, how old is like maybe third or fourth or fifth grade,
like 10? I don't know.
So yeah, we were around 10. He had an electronic watch, and we got mugged by some local neighborhood kids because they knew we were Americanized.
Ooh, they could smell it.
I was going to ask you, so when you visit Japan, do they have like a feeling of, oh, she's not from here, she's...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think when I go back, like, people more, associate me with being American. Just with, yeah, like, dress, like, I speak English, you know?
So yeah.
I actually try not to mention that I'm Chinese. And I do the same in China, where I, like, don't mention I'm Japanese, because I feel
that's so interesting. Complicated. So you just do it, it's... circumstantial, it's situational.
Yeah,
that's so interesting, because you would think, you know, that's what I don't like about Asians, and like the because Asians, like, not all Asians, but like in a stereotypical sense, it is true, like they're really judgmental, like, you know, yeah, like Koreans are towards Japanese, and the way the Japanese or towards Chinese, the way Chinese look at Filipino, you know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah, everyone's looking like, I never understood that, but do you think there's something to that exists, is this hierarchy, right?
There is, yeah. Especially like, especially in Japan, I feel like just Japanese people are very, just like not as welcoming towards like Korean or Chinese in general. Yeah.
Because I've never been to Japan. I need to go there and visit there before I die.
For sure.
Tokyo. So you're saying that you just have a feeling when you're visiting there, it's not the same as if you were like 100% Japanese and you go there.
Yeah. I mean, my mom was telling me, even within like her friend group with like in Japan, they still have like some weird feeling, like she senses like something weird from them, just because like even for her, she's like 100% Japanese, but the fact that she like lives in the US and like hasn't lived in Japan in like a really long time, they're still like a little like, you're not really Japanese anymore.
Wow.
Right.
That kind of confuses me, because it's kind of like, yeah, how does that change, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, but it's just, yeah, like,
so you're saying, okay, so you're saying that, okay, a person that was, let's use this as an example. Let's say a cat that was born in Okinawa, right? And that never left and just stays in the village, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're looked at a certain way, opposed to, let's say, another cat was born in Okinawa, but then moved to New York, you know what I mean? And like went to school there and got the lingo, the New York accent, and, you know, got a part, became a part of the culture, the New York culture, the American culture, and started speaking kind of like that, you know, that type of lingo. But then that person goes back to Japan, is looked at differently.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just like, you've become Americanized. It's like, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, have you been to a lot of other Asian countries, like, besides China and Japan? Have you been to Korea and like the Philippines?
I haven't been to either of those, but just haven't been. It's just, I was too young, like when I lived there, and did not take advantage of the opportunity I had to travel at the time. So
yeah,
mostly just like Taiwan,
Shanghai. Oh, yeah.
Not that recently, like 2 years ago, I did go to like Thailand though for vacation with some friends.
That's what's up. How was that? I've never been.
It was a lot of fun. We just hung out at the beach a lot. That's pretty much it.
How was the food? The tom kha, the coconut soup?
It was so good.
it was a bomb?
It was so bomb. I was just like, I really want to go back, and everything was so cheap.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so the cost of living is cheap there?
It is extremely cheap there. It's, yeah, everything's very affordable, but it's like only because we're tourists. I mean, like living there would be like a whole different situation, because the cost of living is low, that means you would get paid less.
But what if you already had money saved up in the U.S. and you moved out there? Let's say you had $100,000 saved up. Could you live fat out there?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Could buy a house with 100 G's?
You probably could, yeah. Like apartment or something, a little apartment.
So you could buy a property in Thailand for hella cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So how much would like a condo be, like a 1 to 2 bedroom condo on the beach?
I have no clue, but I would assume pretty reasonable.
Would you say you could get it for like $50,000?
I feel like you probably could. I mean, you see, like when I went out there to Thailand, you could see like a lot of like American guys, just like kind of older American guys, just like out there living, snatching up much younger Thai girls. It's a little dynamic, but that's what happens there. And it's kind of,
yeah, I mean, a lot of, what do you call like expats?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like Marines or, you know, like older, like white dudes in the Corps, but then they're older now and they're looking for love.
Yeah, and I feel bad because some of these women are just looking for a way out of their situation. And
yeah, but I don't, there's something unsettling about it as far as, you know, that, you know, it's like, you know what's interesting about that? It's because the way like this culture is set up, it's kind of like if you don't look a certain way, if you don't have a certain amount of money, or it's harder to attract a partner out here opposed to if you have money somewhere else and stuff. But I still kind of look down on cats doing that.
They're taking advantage of someone.
Yeah, they totally are. It's fucked up.
But I mean, like, at the same sense, like, at the same time, it's like these women are still, you know, to a degree kind of consenting to it. And, like, they're getting something out of it. So who am I to judge them for doing that?
Yeah.
So if this person can offer to help, like, support their family or, like,
Now, as far as Thailand, have you been to other like places surrounding you? Like, have you been to Vietnam? And
I think I went to Vietnam when I was really little. I really don't remember. It kind of all blurs together. I was like maybe like 7 or 8, so I'm not entirely sure. But I think we did go to Vietnam, Palau, Singapore, Cambodia. Yeah, a couple of places, but like I said, I'm not entirely sure. I have to like look at old pictures.
Yeah. Now, going back to just your music, like when did you like start recording the music? How'd you link up with Full Tack? And when did you make your move from New York to Vermont and record more stuff and film more stuff?
I guess I'll start with how I met Jared.
Yeah, shout out to Full Tack, aka Jared.
yeah, he actually slid into my DMs.
Whoa! Jared slid into Lil Mariko's DMs. What was his opening line?
I mean, I had followed him on Instagram first because a friend of mine had shown me some of the video work that he was doing.
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I just followed him, and then he asked me if I could model some like shirts for him.
Whoa, he pitched you with the modeling line?
Yeah, I mean, he was very professional. He didn't pull anything.
Oh, like, okay. It was a professional, like, hey, I have this photo shoot. I'm looking for models.
Yeah,
are
so like
available. Do I have to contact your agent?
It was much more casual than that.
Okay, it was more casual, but it was professional.
Yeah, I mean, like, I went over to his place. We took the pictures. Like, we hung out for a little bit.
Were they provocative pictures, or were they just normal, like, you and day-to-day attire?
They're pretty normal. Just like, I mean, it was just, like, a big oversized T-shirt that was, like, pretty much a dress on me.
All right, cool. Continue.
We shot them on his roof, and we also went to, like, a shooting range. I used to do archery as well, so.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, he took me to a shooting range, and he like just took some footage of me like shooting a bow and arrow, and
uh-huh.
That was pretty much it. And then like, I think like a month later, I like hit him up. I was like, hey, let's hang out.
Yeah.
And
so you guys got along immediately.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were like friends pretty quickly, I guess. But yeah, wait, what year was that? I think that was like 2018. I had just graduated from college, so.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, I was just kind of like a little lost because, I mean, I went to art school. As you can imagine, there's not a whole lot of career opportunities in that particular field. So yeah, I was just kind of doing some freelance work and like illustration modeling stuff, so.
Oh yeah, so what kind of you mentioned illustrations?
Yeah, I went to Pratt for illustration.
Like, oh, finally. Cool.
Yeah, and I guess after that, he like later started getting more into making music.
Uh-huh.
We were just like, he was working primarily with this other artist. And I would just kind of be there because we were kind of seeing each other at the time.
Yeah, like what kind of, what was he making his stuff on? Like what kind of like instruments and everything?
He was using FL Studio. So just
cool. So he would make all the beats and electronic sounds on that?
Yeah, on FL, like Omnisphere. And like he's more recently started getting into like more of the hardware.
Like, yeah. Now describe what you FL Studio you said. Describe to the viewers and listeners what exactly that is.
I'm the worst person to ask this.
No. You just do your best.
Basically, it's like GarageBand but less shitty.
Okay. I use GarageBand. Now I don't take offense to that. Now, personally, I have to look up this FS Studio.
I feel like FL Studio is a little bit more user-friendly. And just when it comes to, like, making, like, the drum portion of a beat, it's, like, much more, like, intuitive. And
FL, now, is it for PC or Mac?
Either one.
Where could I purchase that?
I think you could just Google FL
Studio. Just Google it and I could just get it. It's software.
Yeah, it's just software.
Yeah. You know, the reason why I like GarageBand is because I know how to use it. It's like easy for me to like just cut and edit and I get my idea on there fast. But you're true. Saying the F, Sadie, is it FS or F1 Studio?
Oh, FL.
Okay, FL Studio allows you to not only record but create drum patterns.
I'm really not the good person to ask this. I only just started learning.
No, okay, just do your best because I'm interested. People might say, oh, Stevie Weeby's cheap, he won't spend money on anything. That's not true. I'm changing my ways. I've invested in more of gear towards my platform and just creating stuff.
Yeah. For recording audio, I don't think FL is good for that. What is the other program that we use?
Pro Tools?
Logic is
Logic.
Better. Logic Pro is better to use for recording, I think. That's usually what Jared uses.
I hear that a lot, or Ableton.
FL is like really like only good if you're doing a lot of stuff that's like heavy and drums. Everything else is
yeah bad. I mean, I usually I'm sample heavy, so but I'm always looking for some new drum patterns. FL Studios, I'm writing that down. So tell me more. You and Full Tack, when did you start coming up with these concepts and your style of creating your specific type of music?
Last year when we made that like stupid viral song, Where's My Jewel, it was just us messing around and like we saw that kind of sound worked. So we figured might as well stick to it, write it out, see how it goes.
So you mentioned sound, like how did you even discover that? How did you create, even begin creating a sound like that? Did it just, because I always wonder how like people get their, where they get their inspiration from.
I don't know. We just thought it'd be funny to like have this like horrible braggy like voice, and then to like have it contrast heavily with, you know, me just like fucking screaming.
Okay. That's what the part I loved about what y'all are doing. How did you, it's similar to like how Be Real from Cypress Hill discovered that nasally voice that he does, you know? It's distinct. How did you come up with that? Were you just experimenting one night, screaming in the garage?
Pretty much. I mean, just like messing around. So the artist that Jared was working with previously, we were like just sitting in the studio, kind of like, you know, thinking about songs. And then I was like, I can scream really, really loud. And they're like, yeah. Okay, just do it. Fuck it. And so,
It works. It definitely works.
They had me just scream, and then from there I figured, like, just keep doing it because it's kind of, it's fun.
Yeah. Have your folks heard any of your art or music?
I try not to show them. Yeah. Generally, I don't really show them, so no, I don't think so. They're like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
music." And they're like, "Can we hear it?"
I've abstained from showing my mom as well.
Yeah, I feel like my mom in particular would be very disappointed.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing it? Because I actually gave my mom a CD and years later it was still in the shrink wrap with dust on it. So I'm like, well, she don't even know what to do with it anyway when I give her my music.
Well, I definitely thought about maybe showing my dad because he's a bit more open to things like that, but at the same time, my dad's kind of the type who would like receive like a link and not never actually open it. He'd be like, it's best not to know.
Right. So you, man, this is so cool. So you did it just out of you're experimenting and having fun.
Yeah, pretty and much.
Your videos going viral. Like, what was your response like as far as like the way people responded to it?
Honestly, I was kind of taken aback about how like positive people were, because I was like, this is the most fucking annoying song ever. Why are people vibing to this?
Yeah.
So your
intent was to fuck around, right?
Yeah, just like make a silly song. It wasn't supposed to be like super serious or anything. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that other people picked up on that too. Just like me and Jared having fun.
That's awesome. I want to actually like just kind of review what you just said there. And I think that a lot of aspiring artists could learn from what you just said. You're like, dude, I was just having fun and it's silly. And your intent wasn't to like do a certain thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just to have fun. And then just surprisingly, people liked it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed like a lot of artists nowadays, especially like younger ones, like
very methodical.
Yeah, they're super methodical, and it's like, if something's not fun for you, then don't do it.
Yeah, I like that too. Let's repeat what you just said. If something's not fun for you, then don't do it. It's simple, but it's profound at the same time.
I mean, like,
are you saying listeners and people who like kind of look at the art from a distance, they could tell a difference between if it's like, if this person's trying to do a certain thing opposed to, oh, this person's having fun?
I think people take for granted just how smart a lot of like listeners can be. I think it's fairly obvious when someone's like not having fun in their work. It's like you can tell. You know, yeah. It's like when something comes out forced, I feel like it's very obvious. That's fine. It's like if you're trying to reach like a certain level, like there are steps you have to take to get there. But Yeah, I don't know. Just like, even if you like fuck up or make something like really horrible or shitty, it's like, who cares? Like, yeah. That's part of the learning process. Just put it out there.
You know, that's you're not so gonna, cool. I'm glad that y'all decided just to do it out of fun and you had the right attitude to create it. Now, have y'all, like, what was like it like doing your first shows and stuff?
Oh, I haven't done any shows yet.
But you know what I'm saying? I know we're in it's a bad time because of quarantine and COVID, but I think what y'all are doing, you and Full Tack, I think it would translate well in a live setting. It would be crazy, like, to like go to your show and then you screaming and then him doing his shit. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. I mean, I just recently got like a booking manager, so she's going to help me with all my tours and stuff. But I mean, yeah. I have a lot of anxiety about it, just in general. I mean, growing up, I'm like, was always pretty reserved, so the idea of getting on a stage and screaming in front of a lot of people is a little horrifying, but I'm hoping, you know, I'll find my groove in that and just kind of figure it
out. Yeah, I mean, my suggestion is just have the same outlook and attitude the same way you have towards your music itself and have fun.
Yeah, like, I mean,
if you're having fun creating it, why not have fun when you're performing it as well, you know?
I mean, I figured at the very worst, I'll go on stage completely blindfolded and just pretend no one's there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in my band, Mongchi, for one of our shows, I put on just all naked, but with just a nut cup.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had a hockey nut cup, and then one of my bandmates painted all this crazy stuff on me, and then for one of I don't know what tour it was, but one of the dates on the tour, he dared me and begged me to put in an anal, like an anal ball.
Oh, in my butt plug?
What was it called? An anal plug. So it was like an anal plug, but with like a raccoon tail.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Taking out of the anal plug?
Well, did you do it?
No, but this is what he did. So, it was during, okay, I know, I remember now. It was for we were in Tacoma, Washington. Mm-hmm. We're in, where, is that where it is? Tacoma, is that Seattle, right? Hold up, let me look at the, my geographics are wrong.
That's okay.
Yeah, Tacoma, Washington at the Art Center there. He, before our sound check, mm-hmm. he ran to like adult porn store and he bought it and brought it to the bus.
Oh, wow.
And I thought about doing it because, you know, it's kind of like he dared me to. I think there was like money involved too. But I saw how thick the, what do you call it again? The ball or the bead?
The plug part?
The plug was like a oversized kind of an egg.
I mean, so if you haven't put anything up there before.
No, eggs are only. Yeah, my butt's only for pooing.
You didn't provide lube, nothing? He just handed you the fucking plug?
Yeah, he took it out of the box, and I think that my butt would have bled, blood would have come out.
Yeah, if you went in there dry, for sure.
Oh,
what did you say? Have to put lube on it, otherwise it's not going anywhere.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. That's no kind of lube in my anal region there. No.
Okay. Well,
it's not. I exit only. But I forgot. I kind of got off topic. I'm so sorry. What was I talking about?
Music.
Oh, performing. And just having fun. So I said, for you, since you had fun making the music with Full Tack, why not have the same attitude in performance?
That's true. That's very true. I mean, I feel like now that I'm older, maybe performance anxiety will be something a little bit easier for me to overcome. Because as I get older, I realize I don't care anymore.
So. too short to care as far as like how people would will react to anything you put out in life.
It's like, whatever. It's like, I don't know you. I don't care.
And not only that, life's too short. And not, you could make the you could write the perfect novel and make the perfect movie, make the perfect albums. There's someone out there in the world that's going to have a problem with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the goddamn truth.
Exactly.
I wanted to encourage you though, once this this pandemic is over, I think people who even watch this, then they'll get familiar to who you are. They'll come and see y'all perform.
Yeah, I mean, also, I'd keep in mind, like, people who would come to a concert of mine probably are not expecting, like, some immaculate performance anyway. Yeah,
they're not expecting, like, Bjork.
Yeah, precisely.
You know what I'm saying? Or, like, Radiohead.
Like, they're not going to get none of that.
They're going to see something crazy.
Exactly, so.
You know what I picture with, you don't have to do this, but I picture when when y'all perform, fire will be involved. Like, you guys will set the fire on stage and crazy costumes.
Yeah, that would be literally lit if I had fire.
Yeah, that would actually be lit.
Yes.
It would be lit.
It would be very lit.
I don't like that word. I don't like certain lingo as far as, you know, but I like it. It's it makes sense in this particular scenario. It would actually be lit. I'm asking y'all to use like a fire.
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. Now, we're getting kind of towards the last 10 minutes of the interview. I mean, this wasn't that hard. I mean, how are you feeling this far as the interview?
Good. I mean, like, I don't have a lot of interview experience, so I'm kind of...
That's fine. I mean, you're fine. Yeah.
Like, insight into what I'm doing, or like,
no, it's fine. I kind of like it like this, more organic. I don't like it when my guests have they prepared too much because it seems forced, but with you it just seems like you're just so kind of like going with the flow. I like that, you know. Yeah. Now, as far as future, where could people download or support your music?
Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube.
What should they type in?
Oh, Lil Mariko.
And spell that out for the viewers and listeners.
Lil space Mariko. That's where you
So it's not find little it. With two T's, it's Lil.
Yeah.
Lil space Mariko. Mariko.
Yeah.
And what about, don't you have a YouTube channel you want to plug to? I know Full Tax got one.
No, I don't have one. I just kind of leave the uploading up to him because, I mean, he's...
Can we plug Full Tax? I mean, because your stuff's on there too.
Oh, yeah, I'm such a piece of crap. I don't even know his YouTube.
You gotta look out for your boy.
Let me double check. I think on YouTube it's just Full Tax, no space.
That's FULL TAC.
Yep, there.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you did that.
Okay.
Full Tack in full effect. Subscribe today. And so what about merch or anything of that nature?
I have zero merch except I do have shirts that have my illustration on it that I printed like 2 years ago that I'm
What's
still
up?
Getting.
How can fans get a hold of that?
Oh, wait, okay. I don't know any of my own plugs. Isn't that awful?
You better get this program, Lil Mariko.
I know, right? Okay. Wait. One second. I'm such a piece of crap. I'm sorry. Okay, well, I have an Etsy. And my Etsy is Mariko Zhang. So Mariko Zhang. And
yeah. Spell that out one more time.
Oh, Mariko Zhang. That's my Etsy. And you can find it through my art account, which is just
okay.
Mariko.
And what types of stuff is on your Etsy?
Just that one shirt.
Okay, how much for a shirt?
$25. I can show it to you.
Yeah, show it to the camera so the viewers, I mean, so the, yeah, viewers could take a look at what they're going to get.
1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go get it. I am so horribly unprepared. I'm so
sorry. It's okay. This is just, it's organic and it's like.
Anyway, yeah.
Oh, dope. Who did the art?
I did.
Oh, dope. Okay, yeah. So go on our Etsy and purchase one of those shirts today, folks. Yeah?
Yeah, it was originally a ballpoint pen illustration that I had printed on.
Hey, why don't you make little stickers of that?
Because I'm lazy.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. That'd be dope.
It's true. I don't know. It was just like the whole printing process was very complicated and I never.
Oh, did you do it yourself or did you go through a manufacturer?
I went to like, I printed them out through like a friend of a friend.
So how much do you have in stock?
I think I still have like, I want to say like 20 shirts left.
So folks, get your shirt today. There's a limited supply. There's only 20 shirts left. Okay. Get it today on our Etsy. Say it one more time. What's your Etsy?
Mariko Jong. That's my Etsy. Yeah, I'm sorry. This isn't a very compelling sales pitch, but
no,
you know.
No, this is going to work. MARIKO space CZHANG. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Any future videos that you're working on right now and future projects or albums, EPs you're working on right now that people could check out?
Well, right now we are in the process of filming the Shiny music video. I intend on covering my entire body in glitter for that. So
dope.
And
That's creative.
We finished recording this new song called Simp.
Oh, I like that. How'd you get the idea? Where'd you get the concept from?
Simp?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a like, funny meme thing to call someone a simp. Simp.
Oh, so what, is that short for simpleton?
No, it's like...
Like wimp?
No. A simp is like a... Wait, fuck, what? There's like a whole acronym for it. It's,
I need to find that out.
It's like sucker for like... Oh, sucker idolizing mediocre pussy.
Okay, I've never heard that before.
A simp?
It says someone way too much for a person they like.
Okay,
so what's the one you got?
Sucker idolizing mediocre pussy.
Okay. Okay. It can also mean a silly or foolish person as well, right? So there could be two different meanings.
Yeah, I mean, the song kind of revolves around...
your definition.
Yeah, like a guy who's just like weirdly obsessed with a stranger on the internet who they've never...
Okay. And then when, is that how close... Is that done? Is that finished?
Almost finished. We're still kind of EQing it and like... fixing up the beat, but hopefully it will be out soon, either next month or possibly next month. We're still just like, we just kind of like do things on our own schedule.
Cool. Now where can people, are you on Spotify or SoundCloud or Bandcamp? Is there any other platforms to reach your music?
Apple Music and Spotify. The SoundCloud is just Jared SoundCloud, which I think is also just full tech. I'm trying to think where else we post our music. Oh, at YouTube as well, I think. Put it there.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Well, I think we covered it. Do you think we missed anything? I didn't want to miss anything as far as
not that I can think of.
Oh, your Instagram.
Oh yeah, it's just Marikoz.
Okay.
Yep.
But it's under Lil Mariko too on your Instagram, right?
Yeah, it, like I think I put Lil Mariko for the name, but the actual username is Kat Mariko Z.
Yeah, okay, so let me spell that out. It's K-A-T M-A-R-I-K-O-Z. Yeah?
That's correct.
Thank you for your time and the best of luck to you and Full Tack. And I hope you all create more fun music in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. That was the Lil Mariko interview. Thanks for tuning in. I have a couple shout outs, okay? So we have a Patreon attached to the show. If you want to help support the platform to keep it going, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. I have a website. If you want to pick up any merch, it's StevieWeebyShow.com. Okay. Just keep in mind, because of the pandemic and the coronavirus, shipping is going to be a little bit delayed, but I'm on top of it. Okay. I check every day. The newest patrons this week are John Rehill, Mel K, and Justin Viren. I hope I'm saying that right, Justin. We're still working on the music video, The Pod in Which We Travel. We're on post-production for that. Just working out some final details. Be patient with me. My Instagram's at Instagram/QUANGOU. My Bandcamp's StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. All my, like 90% of my albums are on there. So check that out. I'm currently working on a new project, a concept project. It's a Gene Wilder Stir Crazy project, kind of based around the whole Stir Crazy movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. But I'm done with one song. I'm on my second beat, and so I'm on it. Okay, and I'm having fun doing it. I mean, it's as far as the different types of loops and samples I'm finding, it's going to be different than the Ode to My Pie. That was more depressing because I was going through, you know, my father's death, and that was an outlet for that type of music. But this is more, I didn't lose my style as far as like my aesthetic, but it's just going to be more, a little bit more upbeat than the past project. So that's why Little Ray is still out near the Zeta Reticuli constellation. I didn't, you know, he's not dead, but he's taking a break right now because Stevie's working on some new project, okay? I do have a P.O. box if you want to send in any letters or boxes or whatever, mail. Send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391. LA, California, 90093. With that being said, thanks for tuning in and come back next week. All right, peace.